You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn, who is returning to do another show, thank goodness. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. I especially enjoyed our second reading, which we had prior to this show. It seems like every time we do a show, I get a reading. So I'm fated to have you come back.
Okay, sounds cool.
Yeah, well, the first one was mind-blowing, and then this one was really, this one felt like we were fine-tuning the Stradivarius or something. That the first one was kind of a vast, overarching look and a positive direction, and then this one showed me why I'm going through so many difficulties at the moment, and it helped explain a lot of things. It was really a wonderful and excellent reading, and you know, helps me to get through some things that I might not have seen.
Well, you know, that first one we did was the official soul purpose reading.
Uh-huh.
And in that, we pan the camera back off the planet, out of this dimension. There is no Lance yet. Mm-hmm. There's just this soul who's contemplating the mission. And so we look at the big game plan, the blueprint for the lifetime.
Oh, right.
Like, why are you even coming in here? You thought this was a good idea? Okay. And what we did this last time was we just looked at your current transits and numerological cycles and current solar return chart, et cetera. So, yeah, we're fine-tuning according to where you are in that big journey right now.
Well, I have a feeling I'm going to need another one after September.
And for those who don't know, your birthday is in September.
Oh, right. Plus, and now, since this reading has taken place, I see other astrologers focusing on August as being one of the most difficult months that we may experience of the whole year. So, and then for me, that's added on to because of the numerology and the timing of my birth date and all the rest of it.
Yes, and we're in very interesting times, aren't we?
Why, I don't know what makes you say that.
Remember the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times.
Well, you know, I've been listening to the Proterian channels that you sent me, the DVDs of your... I didn't mention in the introduction that you also channel a 12th dimensional group called the Proterians, which are very, very brilliant and funny, and they're right on the money. And so I was listening to that last night and today, just before the show. And you've also got a little book that you wrote too. So you know, I've left out. I'm remiss in my duties. I'm falling down on my job here.
No problem.
But so interesting times, yes. Now, one of the most interesting things I've heard somebody talk about, and you seem to be the only person that said this, is that we're living in a nine-dimensional matrix. Now, most of us have seen the Matrix trilogy. We know that we're living in a matrix. We know that this is a control system that's designed to milk us of energies. And we also know that we probably came in here to help us get out. So, but what I have never heard anyone say is that we are 12-dimensional beings in a nine-dimensional matrix that's convincing us to be three-dimensional and that's using our abilities and powers because, well, the archons can't create, so we're the creators, and we're led to create whatever they want. And in this case, it's destruction and mayhem and the rest of it, things that mimic. But
yes,
you said something interesting. You also said something interesting that we're at a time where we're starting to break away from the matrix. So if you want to share anything about those concepts, that would be wonderful.
Okay. In the last channeling session that we did here in Reno, Protarian just came right out of the box and asked if anybody had been feeling a little discombobulated lately. Having a little trouble getting a foothold or a handhold, feeling balanced, maybe trouble being grounded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that they pointed out in the midst of a lengthy explanation, as you know, they go on and on.
Right.
If it weren't for the limitations of the physicality of the channel, they would go endlessly. Anyway, they...
Part of their charm.
Yes. And they really got into... what this is all about, and that is that we're actually beginning to disengage from the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the matrix is simply a projected hologram that has hijacked our consciousness for eons worth of Earth time,
mm-hmm.
here in what the Protarians refer to as the TikTok reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with our consciousness being hijacked by these beings for so long, we are finally reaching a point of awakening and stepping into our own so that we can simply shift our attention, shift our thoughts, shift our feelings, etc., away from this matrix, which does not resonate with us, and simply mm-hmm. move our consciousness into what does resonate with us, and that's a world of our own creation.
Mm. And that's pretty. That's a pretty tall order for human beings that have been somewhat dumbed down. That is under constant assault with technology, programmed. You know, practically beaten up in the ring every time we go out because there are stores vying for our money. And come now here, buy this, buy that. You need this. You need that. And I mean, we should be just like on our last round by now. And it's pretty hard to use creative imagination to create a world that we want when we can just barely keep alive in this chemicalized, brutal world that we're in, which, of course, is part of the whole game plan.
Right. That's exactly right. And, yeah, we're... barely staying alive in a world that's designed to kill us anyway.
Right.
So, but thank God, none of this is up to the human personality.
Right.
As is often said, your spirit already knows how to do all of this. So just get out of the way.
Yeah.
See, we are not simply these 3D humans. That's what the Matrix wants us to believe that we are. Nothing but these
right.
3D pathetic little snotlings from planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
And yet we are the infinite itself. We're part of the infinite energy field. So
mm-hmm.
thou art God. So instead of thinking like, oh, I'm nothing but a pathetic little snotling from planet Earth. No, you're God. And so let's just say God might have a few capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so imagining this new Earth into existence will be no problem because it's really the true desires of our heart that will simply manifest. So it's not like the little left brain is going to figure everything out, design
right.
it, engineer it, and manipulate it into existence.
Right.
But
it also seems that religion has done so much intentionally to keep us from recognizing our own abilities and power and from communicating directly with Source within. Because if we did, of course, they'd be out of business, and they couldn't take over all the lands and control and manipulate the funds and the mafia money and this and that and the other thing. So the religions have done a lot to take power away from people, and a blind faith in a religion seems to be detrimental to us thinking for ourselves.
Well, it seems to be detrimental to just about everything, doesn't it?
Well, yes, I didn't want to be so bold as to say it like that, but yeah, now that you said it, yeah.
It does seem to be somewhat of a poison in the environment. Okay, yeah, we get that.
Yeah, yeah, almost like chemtrails.
Yeah. Now, earlier you were talking about these beings, as we had a conversation a few days ago, these beings who run the Matrix, they are not life as we know life. They cannot create life. They cannot live life. But all they can do is mimic life. They can infiltrate life and influence life, and that's how they get things done here, and that's how they can change things here. That's how they can destroy things here, because they actually don't even have the power to destroy anything here. All they can do is influence the life forms here to destroy themselves and each other. And they do that by hijacking the consciousness. So maybe we could just wake up.
So they literally hijack the awareness of individuals and groups, probably.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, it goes all the way down, 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 down. I mean, in fact, that set of CDs that I had sent you on immortality, it was a primer for Earth's death cult members. And at the beginning, you might recall that they look at our world here and they see nothing but one massive death cult. And all the way down to the level of the microbes. It's not just the humans. All the way down to the level of the microbes, it's like everybody's struggling and fighting and killing and dying and blah, 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 blah.
That's right.
And so, yeah. And so here you have all of these beings that are the immortal spirit of the infinitude coming into a ridiculous reality like this where they have to die.
Yeah.
And so you're an immortal spirit, and you come in here and you create mortality. Brilliant move. And so they don't get it. They look at this and they think we're absolutely ludicrous. So to them, we're like intergalactic Comedy Central. Because they look at us and they see these magnificent 12-dimensional creative beings. We're like creator gods. And they look at what we're creating, and this can't be serious. They look at this world, and it has to be a joke.
So, well, now, how was the world set up in the first place? Was it established in other words, when we were created and tinkered with, was it set up so that everything literally had to consume something else in order to survive?
Well, that goes way, way, way back into the early game plan of the Matrix, and that is one of the underlying features of the Matrix. This part of God has to kill and eat that part of God in order to survive. What a stupid thing. Actually, it's actually brilliant comedy as far as Proletarian is concerned. You know, they create the predator-prey relationship, the parasite-host relationship, etc. You are part of the infinite energy field. You are an expression of the infinite energy field. Why on earth do you need to consume anything?
Well, that could include food, water, and air, I suppose, if you really got down to it.
Yes. You know, in one of the earliest channeling sessions back in the early 90s, there was a woman who had this burning question, and her friends were egging her on because she was suddenly shy about asking it. And so at that time, they were all thinking that all these wonderful ET beings were all fifth dimension, and Proletarian didn't care, so they let them like that. And so the question was, do you fart on the fifth dimension? And the answer was no. And then she said, well, then what do you eat? And Proletarian said, we don't. And, well, how do you live? What we're wondering is how you live. yeah, so, yeah, they simply are energy fields. They just, you know, it's no problem to generate whatever energy is required to run whatever kind of life you're living, because you are simply an expression of the infinite energy field. Within the context of your reality, you don't have to be stealing the energy of some other being, some other creature, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, here, theft is not only encouraged, it is considered bad form if you don't steal.
Oh, so it's glorified.
And glorified. So we're in backwards land. We're in upside down in backwards land.
Yes. Proterian has often said, congratulations, it's an amazing feat to have created a world, a reality that you can really believe in and accept as reality, and everything in it is 180 degrees bass-ackwards from spirit.
Right, right. Well, fortunately, there are a lot of people who have a spiritual core and who have come in, some of them probably Proterians, I might wonder.
A few of them, yes.
And to add to the mix and help us expand our consciousness and shift shift out of the game, actually to shut the game down, right? Because this whole thing about fear and, you know, shock and awe and the rest of it and living it, you know, lack and limitation, that is all programming and that's part of the matrix. So aren't we finally coming to a point where we're just making a choice to completely unplug those programs forever?
It's time to click on uninstall.
Uninstall. Okay, remember
just
that.
Click
phone.
On uninstall. Install.
Yeah.
And if something pops up about shared files, just delete them.
Delete the shared files. Don't go into the cloud, Marianne.
So the game here has been played for a long time as far as the TikTok reality is concerned, but ultimately we know that in the unified field, well, what is time? It's just a tool that this universe uses to keep everything from happening at the same time.
Oh, right.
According
right.
to our perceptions.
Right.
And every universe, every cosmic plane, every realm, every dimension, set of dimensions, any kind of world of any kind, and all alternate realities of everyone, every single one is nothing more than a mode of perception. It is consciousness choosing to perceive things that way. That's how we end up with worlds. That's how we end up with dimensions and cosmic planes and what have you. So everything is created by consciousness. It's just that our consciousness was hijacked.
Our consciousness was hijacked, yeah.
Slightly misdirected.
Yeah. And that was it from the very beginning, right?
Well, whatever a beginning is.
Well, right. I mean, all I know is I was born into a situation where I can't walk through walls, I can't bilocate, and I can't fly. Now, something is wrong with this picture.
Yes, because in other worlds, that was just natural.
Yeah,
you could do
right.
anything. Yes.
Right, and the density of this planet is, as George Cavazos likes to say, is we're in a densification process where we're becoming denser and denser. So it might feel like a lump of coal that's being pressed by the mountain, and the result, of course, if you're lucky, is that you get a diamond.
Diamond, yes. Yeah, so it's all just part of the game. But each of us is free to choose what we wish to do here.
Okay.
And you know, it's not like everybody is forced to be here. We actually did choose it. And
now,
so
did literally everyone choose it, or are there souls that that didn't make it out of the field of the Earth's field, ended up in the astral plane, and the Archons just pulled from the pool of souls? For instance, there are murderers and thieves and rapists and the rest of it, and they might not have gone to the light. Couldn't they just pull some of that soul material and incarnate into a body and use that to create more chaos and destruction?
Well, that's much of what they do.
Well, okay.
It's just another level of their hijacking.
Okay, so and there's probably 1,000 more things we could mention that we haven't even thought of yet.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got so many beings who are really, from our perspective, rather hapless, and they're easy to manipulate and control and so forth.
Yeah.
And somehow they chose to come in. Hey, I wonder what this universe is like. Well, come on in and find out.
Do you think that there are big neon signs out in the galaxy saying, Earth, come here, settle Earth, be the first, you know, find out what, or it could be like a cosmic peep show, you know, big red letters, adult bookstore, and it gets all the riffraff of the universe. And then you end up in a body and think, wait a minute, this isn't an adult bookstore. Where am I? I'm in a baby body. Wow.
Well, let's just say that with the Archons and so forth, there's a lot of false advertising going on.
Right. Right. And they don't deliver on their promises.
Well, no, of course not.
And then, of course, there are other elements that are operating in conjunction with the Archons. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
The demigods and like the Jehovah, the 72 names of God, which, as I understand it, there are 72 names for evil, and people are calling it God. So that could be another thing they have bass backwards.
Well, they've got lots bass backwards here. And so, at any rate, we can focus on that all we want, but all that does then is pour more of our consciousness,
right,
hence our creative energy, into supporting it, and that's the game that they play.
Right, right.
And as we were talking the other day, this is what they do with their media out here,
mm-hmm,
the so-called mainstream media, and
mm-hmm,
the stuff that they call news, etc. It's all propaganda,
mm-hmm,
and so they quip up trouble. Sometimes it's completely fake, and then they focus all this attention on it, and they then spin a story of what it's about, and they get everybody believing, oh, there's going to be war in this part of the world now. Oh, so you end up with all these hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of people saying, oh, there's going to be this big bad war in Ukraine. Oh, my God. Oh, oh, oh. And they're pouring their thoughts and their emotions into creating that war.
Right.
And here you have all these wonderful, well-meaning people out here, a lot of New Age fluff bunnies and others who you know, have just the sweetest hearts, but their minds don't get it, and they're allowing themselves to get sucked into that, and they are helping to create what they don't want.
That's right, because we're the creators.
Yes,
we're
exactly
the creator gods here on Earth that have forgotten who we are and are acting from a lower level. So all that they need to do, those that know the game, is manipulate us into creating what they want us to create, since they can't create it themselves.
Bingo.
Kind of like a puppet show.
Yes, and that goes all the way back to creating things like the predator-prey relationship and the parasite-host relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The beings themselves, in a world like this, created it being influenced by these other beings who are incapable of creating anything here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So it's a cute game we're in the midst of here. But so, there are some cool ideas here. Like Proterian looks at this world, and you know, their perspective is that this is not some great marvelous thing, you know, showing the great wisdom of God or anything else. But they say that this world is at least an interesting rough draft.
Mm.
And so there are ideas in here that could be really, really cool. Of course, most of those ideas are still, you know, the vestiges of the way the world was in the midst of the natural universe, not the matrix that's been superimposed over it.
And the matrix that's superimposed over it includes what we see as galaxies and stars and all the rest of it, right?
It includes all of that, and it is multidimensional. And that's another thing that Proterian talks about that you said you haven't heard elsewhere, is that to say somebody, quote-unquote, dies here in 3D, so, okay, the body here doesn't work anymore, and so then they go into the fourth dimension. That is also part of the matrix, with all of these beings who some knowingly work for the matrix, and others are just innocent beings who are duped into thinking that now they're in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth dimension here is basically the recycling center, because most of it is focused on preparing you for your next life down here in the meat grinder.
Yes, yes. And that's how we're constantly tricked, in a sense, into incarnating or reincarnating over and over and over, because we're an endless source of energy.
Yes, and that's what Proterian calls the hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation.
Yes, yes. Now, what would it take? For instance, I've heard people say that there hasn't been an official, graduation from the Earth for many thousands of years because of this incarnational grid that's set up by the Archons, at the fourth dimensional aspect. Does anybody get out at all? Does anybody escape from the fourth dimension and make it beyond there, or is it pretty much
in fact, it's a prison? No,
it's a
nine-dimensional matrix, which makes it so brilliant as far as we're concerned here.
Right.
It's just because we're not awake enough. You know, we haven't recovered enough of our consciousness to realize it's really stupid. But from where our consciousness currently is, God, it looks ingenious, this matrix.
Yeah.
Because then you go to the fifth dimension, and then you think you're really cool.
But
you're still in the matrix.
And you can go all the way up to the ninth.
And still be in the matrix.
And think you're on top of the game.
Yes, in fact, Proterian had said that the seventh, eighth, and ninth dimensions of the matrix are like the casing of the battery.
Oh.
It just, you know, you're not really generating energy. You're just holding the other energy in.
Wow. 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 That is really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, so you can go to those seventh, eighth, and ninth dimensions within the matrix, and they're great. They're beautiful. They're fantastic. Who would want to leave?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And nobody does.
Very few do, but there
are
some who
do. What will help to, is there anything that will dispense this matrix? Will we be able to, you know, is the shift that's coming and the separation from the matrix, is that, will we eventually or sooner escape from this artificial reality that's been created, the nine-dimensional matrix?
Okay, there's nothing to escape from. All we need to do is wake up.
Oh, well, gee. Well, if it's that simple.
Yes. You know, you're looking at this world and you're seeing it as a reality with a capital R. All right.
Yeah.
You know how to go back and use the word processor here. So just delete the capital R and put a small R in there.
That's for starters.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
instead of making a creation, I like what you said about
we send our creations off and they're putting a red. You said it better. You know what the analogy I'm thinking of?
Oh,
our creations are so important that they're all real. And then you suggested,
okay, yeah, that was a Proterian analogy.
Yeah.
In one of the channeling sessions, Proterian was
I like that.
They were acting it out like, okay, we're working in the manifestation department in the universe.
Yeah.
And we have the conveyor belt coming along with all these packages that you people are sending. Because these are all your hopes and wishes and dreams and, in other words, your orders. And they come in and these packages all have these bright red tags on them that say, reality. And, of course, we pop them right into the manifestation bin for you. It doesn't matter how stupid they are. It doesn't matter how painful they are. We don't judge it. We don't understand. It's your reality. And you're telling us, pop that in the manifestation bin. So we do. And so they're doing that. And so let's say that finally you start waking up and you realize, no, this is not cool. So you look at the situation, and you have to be realistic about it, and you say, okay, well, it's manifested here. I'm experiencing it, but it's illusion. So maybe you could just peel that bright red tag off before you send it out into the universe and replace it with just a plain white tag with plain block lettering, just black letters on it, saying temporarily manifested illusion.
I love
that. And then they acted that thing out that they're tossing all these boxes with the red tags into the manifestation bin, and then suddenly it's like, hey, what's this? I picked it up, temporarily manifested illusion. What's that supposed to mean? I don't know. Look it up. Is it in the book? What are we supposed to do with it? And so they played around with that for a while, and they said, see, at least you slowed the process down.
Yeah.
You started removing energy from it. And they wouldn't. And finally, when they figured out, well, since they're saying they are experiencing it, then I guess it goes in the manifestation bin. And but they just kind of like tentatively set it there. They didn't toss it in with gusto, with all that creative energy behind it to make it manifest. So we're simply withdrawing our energy. And it's really just waking up and realizing this is all smoke and mirrors.
So essentially, there's no point in getting involved with any of the day-to-day events that are going on in the world. They're going to go on regardless of what we think or how excited we get about, you know, the death, murder, kill around the world and the horrors and the president signing things and Ebola and the rest of it. It's going to go on, and it's part of the self-destruction or the destruction of the Matrix.
Now, Proterian's recommendation with that, since they don't get into rules and telling us what to do or anything else,
but
their recommendation is that since there are no rules, if your spirit moves you to be involved to any degree, to sign a petition or click on this or click on that, whatever, just to express yourself, that's fine if you're doing it from an emotional state and mental state of neutrality.
Yes.
Because as soon as they get the hooks in your emotional body, especially, then they've got you.
Yeah.
So if you can simply look and say, okay, go ahead.
Well, it's hard to not get the hooks in our emotional bodies because they're masters at it. They know that we feel, they don't.
Okay. Now, remember, we don't want to make that an affirmation.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to do that. Well, the universe will support that, won't it?
That's right. Okay.
So we have had a challenge with that, but we're getting much better, right?
We're improving by leaps and bounds
at
recognizing emotional hooks, right?
Yes. And as soon as we realize, that's what I meant to say. Right. And then you realize the hook is an illusion anyway.
Right. Yeah.
What is that analogy
about being in prison and then the punchline is, well, there never was, the prison door was always open, and then on top of that, there never was a prison.
Yeah.
So maybe we just need to change our thinking a bit.
Well, we change our thinking, we change our feeling.
Right.
Because the greater power is really in the emotional body.
In emotions, yeah.
Yeah, the key to the whole thing is in the heart. And if in the heart you center yourself in the universal divine love, the rest is going to take care of itself. If we remember Proterian's all-purpose three-step formula, one, come from a loving heart. Two, put one foot in front of the other. Three, walk in faith. And often at the end of a soul-purpose reading, it'll be pointed out that you don't have to have had this reading. You don't have to have gone through this entire grid and had it confirmed for you mathematically that, yes, your hopes, wishes, and dreams here are perfectly possible. In fact, that's what you came in here to do, and you have the ability to do it, and it's simply in the process of unfolding. Just you as a divine being, as part of the infinite, you have the ability to do this. So have the faith, because faith is our power. It's love, wisdom, and power here. You come from the loving heart, there's your love. Put one foot in front of the other, well, that's basic wisdom. And walk in faith, there's your power. So we simply are coming to the point that we're awake enough to see the game for what it is. And in various ways, on different levels, we're disengaging.
Right. And at some point, there will be a level of disengagement that might resemble a divorce, I would guess.
Well, yeah. You know, Proterian, in this last channeling session, pointed out that a few years ago, they were saying that we're going to come to the point that we will need to let go of all external points of reference. There will only be one point of reference, and that's right in your heart.
Wow, that's a good one.
It's you and the infinite, because all of your external points of reference that you have are tied into the Matrix.
Right. Wow, that's good advice.
Oh, they're filled with all kinds of great ideas. Eh?
Well, it makes so much sense, because if you're looking outside yourself, then you're looking in the wrong direction. It's you know, you're looking to the control paradigm. So you're going to get that. You know, you will find people who will want to control you and direct you and tell you what to buy and what to do and what to think and the rest of it. And so once, if you, like you said, if you strip all that away, that doesn't leave much except what you have inside yourself.
And gee, what you have inside yourself is just infinite creative power.
Hmm. Infinite creative power. Hmm. As long as we don't talk ourselves to death. On cell phones and text all our energy out like a balloon letting its air out. I don't know.
Strangeness. Yeah. But, you know, what has come up in so many readings here is the principle of entrainment. Because I often ask people, you know, if they've read the Harry Potter series.
Mm.
And it's actually surprising how many have not. But I tell them, it's okay, I'll distill all 7 volumes into 5 words for you. Professor Dumbledore's principal teaching, which is the underlying theme there, and that is, love is the greatest power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in becoming embodiments of the divine love, we bring in and embody the greatest power in the infinite, because it's the essence of the infinite itself.
Mm.
So, in the principle of entrainment, that's the tendency of energy fields to harmonize. You know, they synchronize so they can work in the beautiful harmony of the natural universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so in entrainment, it's always the weaker fields that have to do the entraining. The powerful fields will hold their own, and the weak fields have to get in sync with that. So as love is the greatest power, as you become a greater embodiment of the divine love, then all of the weaker fear-based energy patterning within you and around you will either have to entrain with it, or its structures will fall apart, or it'll just have to get away somewhere.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's a perfectly natural, ongoing process, and we don't need to manipulate any of it.
Interesting, and we don't have to go, we don't have to alter our DNA or go to classes or anything else.
Well,
unless that's something we want to do.
Well, right, and if your spirit moves you to do that, there must be a reason for where you are right now in the midst of your transition, and so you go ahead and you do it. Again, no rules. You may find something that is really, really useful for you and a whole bunch of other people. That doesn't mean you have to go out and do a campaign to get everybody to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel that it's accurate that we come in, or that some of us come in with like a soul group or soul family that seems to keep recurring, you know, intergenerationally?
Well, there's a lot of that that goes on, and then there are variations on such themes, you know. You have karmic groups that you play with. Mm. You come in because you're stuck in the illusion of karma with certain beings.
Right.
So discernment helps, and that's just part of waking up.
Right. And then, of course, there are probably every planetary system has representatives here that have incarnated from other places into human bodies.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Let's say that this planet has been very well infiltrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's this whole thing of just shifting our attention and shifting our energy away from what does not resonate and toward what does resonate with us.
Right.
It's a very simple principle, and usually the most powerful and effective things are that way. And so, you know, we're living at choice every moment, and basically the choice is between love and fear.
Mm, right.
And there are all kinds of fun analogies. One of my friends here has a really fun analogy, and she uses the imagery of the ocean. And down at the bottom, you know, you have the mollusks and so forth, and then you have the bottom feeders, and it's pretty intense, very dense, very heavy down there because of all that water pressure, you know, all that water sitting on top of you. And so you go up level by level, and of course there are different kinds of fish swimming around as you go up higher and higher. And up near the surface where the sunlight dances off the waves and it's much brighter, that's where you have all those beautiful, colorful fish. And so she talks about different people as being colorful fish. And her desire is simply to swim with the colorful fish. And so when she's encountering somebody who is what she calls a bottom feeder, they can't even relate without stirring up drama. They can't even have a conversation with you without stirring up muck at the bottom. Well, she just says, no thanks, I'll just go swim with the colorful fish.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. And actually, brings to mind a little thing about entrainment and the deep sea thing. Actually, this was in our first conversation right after the first time I was on the show. And our mutual friend Inelia Benz had put on a gig, and there were a whole bunch of people there, and people were like having problems, and Inelia had to leave her own.
Yeah,
her own event, because the people were actually, you know, having to entrain too far too fast for them.
Yeah,
and so like if you're down at the bottom of the sea, down there with the bottom feeders, and you want to go up with the colorful fish, you're like that deep sea diver. You just don't pop right back up to the top. You have to come
right
up so far and stop and adjust so you become acclimated, and then you can go, or you get the bends. You know, that's what the deep sea divers have to do.
That's
they come
right
up so far. Because if they just go flying right up there, they get the bends. So the joke was, those people at that conference got the Inelia bends.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that one. I hope she hears that. If she doesn't, I'm going to tell her.
Okay,
you know, they went up too fast, and they got the Inelia bends. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, as we know, Inelia can really crank up the energies.
Right.
And if people are in there with that group, and the group energy is like, oh, let's all entrain with this, let's all do this, and there are people in there who just, they're not ready yet. They
can't
do that level of entrainment yet. And so patience is so important. So many people express impatience with others, you know, not entraining fast enough or whatever. You know, a little time here. Be patient.
And then there's an element of allowance, too, one of the things I learned from that was it was okay to allow the person who was, playing the foot and the person who was playing the hand and the person who was playing the mind to just be what they are. And those who were ready to fly out the top of the crown chakra could do so because each part is in its appropriate place. And nobody had to hold themselves down in order that the whole group could rise. And I think there's a mentality that I have had and many New Age folks have had that we've got to get everybody in the shift. You know, the whole planet has to be involved. And I don't think it's like that. I think it's, I suspect it's an individual process. And as far as the timing goes, it may look like it's timed differently for each person. So it may not be something that, you know, some huge event happens and we all wake up together and we walk off into the sunset. I don't know what
it's a very cute. It's a cute idea, though.
Yeah,
It may not be the way it's happening,
but it isn't the way it's happening.
Well, it doesn't appear to be that way,
and it doesn't allow for people's choice, unless they made a choice in a conscious state before they incarnate. That yes, I'm going to act like an idiot, I'm going to be a stupid ass, and drink beer and cheer on the games, but when that moment comes of awakening, I'm there, folks. You know, yeah, you can count on me. And so, you know, it's possible
it is.
That we're looking at a lot of masks that are not what we think they are.
Yes. And it's possible, too, that it will play out the other way. They can go down the tubes. And it's not up to us to determine what they are going to do.
That's right. That's right, because then that, again, gets into control and domination. And that's the very thing that many of us are, you know, running from with, you know, as fast as we can into pure freedom. And so why would we want to control and dominate others to force them to wake up because we think that's best for them? You can see what...
Yeah, like we know.
Yeah, evangelism has shown us plainly that it's not a positive force in the world to proselytize and force people down a path that they aren't, it's not their path.
Yeah.
So,
but an analogy that Proterian had presented about 20 years ago was that we are part of a wave of evolutionary energy running through this galaxy. And the analogy is that it is a literal wave in the ocean approaching the shore, this big wave, and there's a levee built along the shore. And the idea is we're going to have such a big wave that the top of the wave is going to go over that levee into new land, into a new area. And so we're the really cool water molecules. We're the ones up there hanging 10, and we're cool. And we're looking down at the bottom at these people who are, going to the bar and watching the games and yelling and screaming about where a ball was or something.
Where's my ball?
or which side of the line was that on? Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
And getting all bunged up about it. And so we think, these guys are slime balls or whatever. But what if those water molecules were not down there? Where would we be? See, that's our support team. Those are souls
support.
Who said, those souls came in and said, well, yeah, you guys want to do that? Okay, we'll come in and we'll do this to support you.
And we'll have fun playing games.
Yes, and then we'll wash back to sea and do our own thing.
And then we'll go. You guys go first. We'll just stay back here and we'll argue about the balls.
And ultimately, none of it matters.
Yeah.
And another one of the cool examples was, let's say you're going to take a flight to India, and you're going to go up into the mountains and visit all these monasteries and have all these great experiences with all these wonderful beings and so forth. And so that's your chosen spiritual journey. That's wonderful. Well, not everybody's going with you.
So
in this life, with you doing this big ascension thing, that's your plane flight to go over there and go up into the monastery.
Oh, right.
So, okay, that's the analogy. And so, for example, what they said in that channeling session was the being who incarnated as your mother was the one who said, well, I'll give you a ride to the airport.
And that's about it.
Yeah, and she's not going. She's not going where you're going, but she was kind enough to make sure you got to the airport on time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all the people handling the baggage and even the pilot is going to go on and go elsewhere, not going up into the monasteries with you. So all these beings are going to be supporting you in all these different ways so that you can have your ascension.
And doesn't that give us a different perspective? We think so in such materialistic terms that the elite have this and that and the other thing, and we're looking at the material things, but we're really the ones that have the invisible things that are magical and spiritual, just rolling out the red carpet for our journey.
Yep. That's right. I just flashed on another Proterian thing.
Oh, go ahead. I love them.
Proterian said that, we have the currency of the universe, which is divine love. And we brought all this divine love, the currency of the universe, into a world that only takes cash. They just have
darn. We better go back. Get the printing presses rolling. Federal Reserve on Mars. Well, what about the movie Inception? That kind of has elements of what you're talking about.
Yes. Well, really, this whole Matrix is just one big game of mass inception. On all levels. I mean, even the idea that you can't walk through the walls, like you said earlier, you can't phase through the wall. Somebody performed an act of inception on you and everybody else here. The particles of your hand can't phase through the particles of the wall.
Exactly.
Can't happen. Okay, yeah. That's inception. Somebody did it at some level. Why
that's
can't you
right.
levitate? Why can't you fly? Because of this mass inception that has occurred within this reality.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And that's all it is.
Yeah, and like in that movie, the trick was to get the beings to think it was their own original idea.
Right, right. Spooky possum.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, it's an interesting game we're playing. And yeah, we can focus on all this stuff of the Matrix. And, you know, what the governments are really doing and what the banksters are doing and so on and so forth. And, you know, Proterian said you could do that for decades and devote your entire life to it, and all you will have is a scratch on the surface of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, yep.
It is that complex and that deep, and it's designed that way.
Yeah.
So each of us can determine for ourselves where the TMI level is. When is it too much information?
Right, right.
Rotarian does not recommend that we be ignorant, that we live in denial. It's recommended that we see the game for what it is, understand the basics of its machinations, and then simply choose to do else what with our attention, with our thoughts and our feelings and our energies.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the little red flag comes up there. The moment you're looking into matters of the Matrix and you feel that hook in your emotional body, that's your little signal that you're at your TMI level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as soon as you let them hook into your emotional body, then they've gotcha.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
What about, I have a question for you on the New Age movement. It seems that there has been a lot of focus on and I don't know how it started. It was probably an inception that we're all moving to the fifth dimension, that that's what's happening. We're going briefly through the fourth, and we're going to the fifth. Well, given the nine-dimensional matrix model, that would indicate that we're still in the matrix and that people are limiting themselves in terms of where they think they might be going and limiting their possibilities to something that is, you know, if you're going to be limited, why go at least to the seventh, eighth, or ninth dimension. You'll still be in the Matrix, but it sounds a little more fun. Why not break entirely free from it? Do you feel that the fifth dimensional movement is part of the co-opting of souls?
Well, yes, and Proterian has talked about that a lot. Again, they see us as these beautiful, magnificent 12-dimensional beings, and they are amused that we have this idea that we are nothing but third-dimensional beings, and
right.
we're fighting our way through the muck and mire of the fourth, so that
right.
we can jump into the fifth and say safe.
Right.
And so their question to us is, why don't you simply integrate all 12 dimensions that you already are?
Thank you. Thank you. And do they have suggestions about how we to go about that?
Yes. Proterian's all-purpose three-step formula.
Oh, right.
And we're back, remember, we're back to that analogy of the young strawberry plants.
Yeah.
Remember the strawberry plant analogy?
Give it to me again.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. For those who haven't heard it. Okay.
Yeah.
They are very amused by us, and to them, we sound like a bunch of young strawberry plants who are fretting over how to make strawberries. And so, you know, we're down here going, oh, my God, they expect me to make strawberries. I don't know how to make strawberries. I've never made one before. I don't know how to do it. Do you know how to make a strawberry? I've never made one before. Look at me. I'm all green and leafy, and strawberries are red. I don't know how. I don't have any red pigments. How do I make a red pigment? Do you know where to get red pigments? I don't know. Oh, my God. So that's what we sound like to them. And
for
that analogy, the simple three-step formula is, one, you're in the earth, two, you have sunshine, three, you have water. It's a done deal because it's your design.
Right.
So anytime the how-to questions come out, well, it's your design. Just let it unfold.
So we don't have anything to worry about, really. Just be ourselves, be our authentic selves, foll
And if at any point your spirit moves you to do one thing or one thing that looks a little weird to somebody else, so what? That's part of your path, so you do that. Like some people say, oh, you have to be completely uninvolved from the political movements in the Matrix. But, you know, if your spirit says, well, I'm going to go down here and, you know, be a warm body with this group of people who are petitioning for something, or I'm going to get online and click on this petition or that, blah, blah, blah. Or I'm going to do a blog and speak my mind about these various things. I'm going to talk about what is going on with the chemtrails or the GMOs or whatever. Mm. If you're doing it from a state of neutrality, mm-hmm. then no problem. They don't have their hooks in you. Mm-hmm. The moment they've got the hooks in you, then you're getting into what we might call the danger zone.
That's right. Well, you know, we've flown through another hour. We've done it. It happened so fast. And I just want to make sure that, I mean, if there's anything else you want to say before we close, you know, you can say that. But I want to make sure that people get your information, because I highly recommend that everybody get a soul purpose reading from you, and the sooner the better. All my friends that have had them loved them. And I just think you're the best. So if you'd be so kind as to share your information about where people can find you, that would be just great.
All right. It's Soul, that's S-O-U-L, soulpurposereadings.com.
Wonderful. Well, Timothy, this has been a great chat again, and I look forward to talking to you the next time. I always enjoy our conversations. You're just...
Hey.
A delight to talk to.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on again.
All righty. Good night, Timothy, and good night, everybody.